Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Brayton Suprenant. Thanks again for downloading and listening to the Brayton Suprenant Show. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen and favorite us on the Odyssey app. You can also catch me live weekdays from 10 to 2 on 97.3 The Fan and streaming on YouTube. Plus, stay connected. Follow me at B_SURP, at BSURP on Twitter, X, Instagram, and TikTok. And subscribe to my YouTube page at B_SURP. Now, let's get into the show.
We'll talk about we usually do a lunchtime hour thing, a bite down, lunchtime hour bite down during the lunchtime hour. We're punting on ours today. We had a good one today, too, but we had so much to get to, we ran out of time.
Yeah, it's even better. You know what's better about it being good today? It's going to be good tomorrow, too.
Yes, it is going to be good tomorrow. It's going to be good tomorrow. And again, there's people all the time, they want to be like, oh, this is a Padres. We're going to talk Padres. We talk Padres all day long. But we want to talk about other sports in town. There's a lot of other sports in town. And maybe I can get you into watching some of these sports. Just like I'm trying to get into soccer. There's some people that chat, like, nobody cares about high school football. I went a little long on the high school football thing. But it was something of note. And we have a high school football audience mixed in there, too. There's a lot of people involved with it. I thought that was the coolest thing. And, you know, we tweeted out about Scott Miller. In the passing of Scott Miller, what a great man he was. And we lost two great writers in town this year, two contributors to our show, in Scott Miller and Bryce Miller. And both phenomenal human beings. And when you get to meet these people and work with them and put them on the air, I mean, it's just, it's more than just their sports knowledge. It's just who they are as people. And Scott Miller was one of the best. One of the best. And it's still kind of relatively, you know, new for a lot of people, but, you know, we are going to either next week or the week after get some guys on to talk about the legacy of Scott Miller and what he has done for this city and this community and what he did for Major League Baseball and for the Scribes and everything like that. And I bring up Scott Miller for a couple of things. And the one, it's like when you look at how you break into this industry, of media in general, sports media in general, whether it be print, whether it be radio or podcasting, whether it be TV. You know, Buster only talked about Scott Miller on Sunday Night Baseball on Sunday, as he should. A very big contributor to the baseball world, especially from a writer's perspective. And talked about him breaking in San Diego, covering high school football for the UT. With Buster only. Jim Rome got his start. We all know about that here in town at 690 doing updates, but he'd call high school football games in San Diego. You see anybody that's on television or in radio or in print, and they were probably on the high school beat, which is cool. So we're going to talk high school football, college football, NFL during the football time. We're going to spend some time on it throughout the year. It's still going to be 90% Padres and a lot about life, too. But we're going to talk about a lot of that stuff. It's fun. And you know what? There's a guy in the chat. By the end of the year, I'm going to get him to go to a high school football game. He's going to pick a team. He's going to be locked in. And again, like, when we talk about it, it's going to just give you a perspective. Give a lot of there's a lot of good talent here in town to let you know about some of these players. Go check them out. Go watch them play. You got a five-star athlete and Brandon Arrington at Mount Miguel just committed to Texas A&M. There's a lot of good players out there that you can go watch on a Friday night. But what I'm not going to do is Mike B said in the chat, which is really funny. Hey, man, this is your X's and O's how to break down Lincoln. It's not going to happen. It's like, hey, this kid had a really good day. This team won. This team looks pretty good. This is a good matchup. Go check it out. Not like, hey, you know what? I think the linebacking core at St. Augustine is going to be spot on. I mean, we're not going to get into the details of that. It's going to be like one segment a week. Recap real quick, preview. It's going to be fun. Let's get back to Padres baseball. Although making fun of Scraby for picking a sob was pretty funny. How about the fact... Tony, I don't know if he got knocked out on that one. But to get a strike for picking number 26 on the list when you needed the top 25, that's a rough one. He said Porsche, 26. It was a fun thing. That was a fun category, though. Chris's fantabulous game show. Funtabulous, fantabulous. Yeah, you never know. His fantabulous game show that they play on Tuesdays is pretty fun. I enjoy playing it while I'm driving around San Diego. 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Let us refocus back in the Padres baseball. Where's Mott the Pod? Where's Mott the Padre? We're back. Wait, we're talking Padres baseball. We're back to it, all right? We'll talk about the lineup change maybe. Do you want to talk about the lineup change today, or do you want to talk about the first half recap? Even though we could still do the first half. We could do both tomorrow. Either or. You get to pick one. I'm going to let you play producer.
Let's go with the... Tomorrow will be the end of the first half, so let's go with the lineup change today.
Lineup change yesterday. Well, it was so good that you got one run, which was great. What to make of the lineup change? Yeah, there you go. Well done. What to make of the lineup change? There was a big... We talked about this on the roundtable. If you missed the roundtable, go back, listen on the Odyssey app, find the video on YouTube, watch it on YouTube, or tune in at 5 o'clock. We're going to re-air it at 5 o'clock. But the question was, what do you make out of Mike Shildt and the lineup changes? We all gave little answers here and there. We're going to go deeper into this. What I make of it is... Mike Shildt is trying to do anything to get this offense humming and trying to get maybe some individuals hot at a time that they're not. And I think it all goes back to the core six as coined by Kevin Acey. Now, that's where I first saw it. If somebody else coined the phrase the core six, I'm not, you know, you could take credit, but that's where I saw it. I did not come up with the nickname. I'm going to tell you who I got the nickname from. Kevin Acey. Everything lies and runs through the core six. This is how the Padres built their team, right? You need the core six to be playing at good to high levels. There's probably three or four of them that are not. In fact, I think you can make the argument, as of right now, none of them really are. Arraez is off to his worst career start. Offensively, Fernando Tatis Jr. has been in a slump for more than a month. He's had a little bit of spurts, but he's not himself. Manny Machado, who had carried the team during most of this stretch, has cooled off a little bit. Jackson Merrill has battled and been back and forth from injuries a couple of times. He's been up and down, you know, not necessarily just on a tear for a long period of time. Xander Bogaerts a little bit recently, but now starting to plateau a little bit. Jake Cronenworth, very up and down. I mean, these are the guys that need to be as consistent as possible. So you got to get some of them going. I have a lineup that I would do if I was playing, if I was managing in a playoff game, and I've given you my lineup. They actually ran it on Sunday or something very close to it. I'd have Fernando bat leadoff. I'd have Merrill bat second. I'd have Machado bat third. I'd have Arraez bat fourth. You know, Saris thinks Arraez should bat fifth. I'm not against it. Sheets, Bogaerts, Cronenworth. I mean, that's relatively where I would be at with a lineup. that is your, if everything's clicking, this is the lineup we need. But when you change your lineup, you're trying to find different sparks. You're trying to find different ways to get the offense going. Or maybe trying to get individuals going. I don't think the best lineup for the Padres in trying to score the most runs when everybody's hitting their best, which is not the case all the time. But when the majority of the Padres are playing their best, I do not like Luis Arraez in the leadoff spot. I like Fernando. But if you want to get Luis Arraez going and getting him back up to hitting above 300, which we know he can do, I don't mind him batting leadoff. He feels a little bit more comfortable there. And you know what? He got three hits yesterday. I think it makes an advantage a little bit too when teams shift Arraez a little bit more when he's batting leadoff or else. It opened up a hole on the left side. I asked this question of Frank yesterday. And a couple of times. Why do you even shift Luis Arraez? He's a guy that can hit it all over the field. This guy comes up, he's like, anywhere. Anywhere. I'm surprised they even do that. But if it's to get him hot, I think it's fine. I said it during the roundtable, and I totally agree. You could really bat anybody in the top four. Anywhere in the top four. I would kind of be against having Manny Machado bat leadoff, but you can use the argument, if you think he's your best hitter, get him up as many times as possible, let him bat leadoff. You really can't do no wrong. You can do no wrong. You can tweak the lineup as much as you want. Eventually, the top six have to hit, and if you're going to do it in order for the top six to hit, the core six to hit, then by all means, do it. Here's what skipper Mike Schilt said on the lineup changes yesterday.
Like I said last night, Louis can hit regardless of circumstance, left, right, you got it. Like him leading off, like him hitting four. You know, he's hit two good portion of the season. You know, as we look at the lineup and start to explore, you know, pretty much right now at the exact halfway point of the season, you know, it just made some sense that, you know, okay, let's get him back to a spot he's been productive in, which is every spot. And then look at Manny, who's taking great at-bats, righty-lefty. You know, let's look at Jackson, and he can pretty much hit anywhere. He's, you know, in a good spot, and it feels like I've talked about with Toddy. You know, he's a little bit of the linchpin to all this. He's a guy that can legitimately hit anywhere in the lineup, and so when you start looking at it, you go, man, it's a good feeling for him to turn it back over, and there's Toddy, but it's also a good feeling to turn it back over, and there's Louie. It's also a good feeling to have him, you know, Toddy have some traffic in front of him, be able to see some pitches and go down that road. So like the look of it, it's always going to be a little bit fluid.
Why today for that? You said the halfway point, just kind of shaking things up today, facing a lefty. Like, what was the decision behind going for it?
Like I said, you know, before Jackson went on the had a situation with the concussion, I was getting my head around, you know, him hitting second. And then, you know, when that kind of broke, started looking at it, you know, and why today? It just made sense. You know, we talked about it, thought about it internally. You know, it's a conversation we do have with the guys that are involved with it. There's a comfort level with those guys, and everybody was really, really comfortable with it, had their head around it. So we rolled it out.
I don't mind him mixing up the lineup every once in a while. But here's the deal. And we talked about this on the roundtable. I totally agree. When Andy Green was mixing up the lineup every single day, and Jace Tingler was mixing up the lineup every single day, everybody was bitching, moaning, and complaining. You got to keep these guys consistent. If he doesn't know where he's hitting the order, how is he expected to hit? And now you got a consistent lineup every day, and what's everybody saying? Well, I got to mix it up. Got to mix it up. Got to keep it going. Got to keep it moving. I don't mind the lineup change, you know, whatever it takes to get the guys going, I think needs to be enforced. And yesterday, didn't really work out. But again, with some of these lineup changes, you can't go like one day, oh, this didn't work, we can't do it anymore. Or this worked, and it's like, this is the greatest lineup ever. Sometimes you got to let it play out a couple of days, maybe a week or so. And we'll see what the lineup is like tomorrow. Maybe they decide to do that again or go back to Sunday's lineup or go back to the lineup that they were rolling out for the majority of the season with Arise batting second. Again, I think there's a lineup that you would do if everybody is performing, your ideal lineup, and then I think there's a lineup of, we got to get some guys hot here. Let's put the let them at the top of the order or move them down or whatever you need to do. And I think that's what Mike Shields is experimenting with right now just because of how poor the offense has been the last couple of weeks. 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. When we come back, how the National League West could shape the deadline. We'll talk about that on the Brayden Sopranet Show on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back, and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Through the fan. Good weather out on hand as we finish up the month of June. Up until Monday, get ready for the 4th of July week next week. Baseball coverage on 97 through the Fan, presented by T-Mobile. Head to T-Mobile.com. We get a great deal on iPhone 16 Pro. Frank Borchese, Brayden Sopranet, Brayden Sopranet Show. Talk a lot of Padres baseball with y'all. Talked a lot of other things today, which is usually the day we kind of mix in some other sports. San Diego FC had a really good game yesterday as they had a phenomenal performance out of Iloski. Frank, watching Iloski yesterday, you were blowing up my phone.
Yeah, it was insane.
Have you seen anything like, I mean, there's nothing, like that had to have been the most, that's the most incredible thing I'd ever seen on the highlights when I watched the highlights.
Yeah, 4 goals in 12 minutes doesn't happen often. And just to give you a perspective, no other player in MLS history had scored 4 goals within a half hour. He did it in within a quarter of an hour, which is absolutely unbelievable. There's no other word for it. It's stunning, the fact that he was able to do it.
How is San Diego FC able to deal with Vancouver at the top of the list and wreak some serious havoc?
Well, see, here's the thing. I do not have MLS season pass. I have a super box, which takes streams, and fortunately part of it is the MLS, so I can watch the MLS on the Superbox for free. Each game has its own channel. And last night, the San Diego FC Vancouver match was on a channel that was apparently set incorrectly. So I was watching basically the MLS's version of NFL Red Zone,
oh, nice.
Which was driving me nuts because I wanted to watch one game. And the one game I wanted to watch, I couldn't watch. But other than that, I mean, the game, San Diego did exactly what San Diego has done. They've controlled possession. They played fast and loose with the ball. Their defense was very tight. Vancouver, being as good as they are, were able to net 3. But right after Iloski got the first 2, Vancouver got back with Ocampo. They scored very shortly after. I believe it was the 40th minute, if I have it right, on here. The 43rd minute. And then immediately, Iloski comes back and scores the third. It was exactly what you wanted, especially with goals coming close to halftime. It's just like giving up a touchdown right before you go to the half in the locker room. It's like, God, like, if we would have just held out for another 30 seconds, we wouldn't be in the spot that we're in right now. But to get it right back was perfect and exactly what they needed. Kept that momentum all the way through, and San Diego did exactly what San Diego has done all season long, which is dominate possession.
And to no surprise, Ilofsky was named the MLS Player of the Match Day.
Oh, really?
For Match Day 20, he is the third San Diego FC player to win that award this season, which is great.
Would never have guessed.
Never guessed for scoring 4 goals in 12 minutes. He scored a goal every 3 minutes.
And I believe... Oh, no, they're still... So the Philadelphia Union right now are the best team in the MLS with 40 points. San Diego FC at the moment is currently tied with FC Cincinnati for second best in the entirety of the league. They are the best in the West. However, Vancouver does have a game in hand on them, so they could be tied. They could be 2 points back, but as of right now, they stand alone at number one.
833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Let's get out to Escondido. Ed, you're on the Braden's Apprentice Show. What's going on, Ed?
Hey, Brandon. I'm glad you're talking about soccer. I'm used to be an MLS referee in 96, the first year. I still referee soccer in high school, softball, and football. But I also have season tickets to the Padres and the San Diego FC. And I was at the Padre game yesterday, a big crowd in the sun all day. But San Diego FC games, they're getting just as big a crowd. I mean, they're not selling out every game, but there is a lot of people going to the games. And the prices are higher than the Padres. I mean, it's for, you know, price-wise. So, but I don't think there's enough coverage for San Diego FC. That's probably one of the problems.
Yeah, there's not like, I mean, we try our best to cover it, and we cover it once a week on this show, and all the other shows do about once a week, and trying to find more coverage, but on our particular station, it's tough to do it all the time. We got a lot of Padres stuff we got to break down all the time, and then, you know, it'd be nice, you know, the Union Tribune tries their best to cover it as much, but hopefully with more winning, you'll get more coverage of San Diego FC. 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Any factors to this win, Frank, when you got during the international season, get guys missing?
Both teams had guys missing. I think Drake Hills said that Vancouver was one of the teams that was missing the most guys. I think they're missing 4. But that's this is exactly what has allowed Ilofsky to really shine. Because you're missing, I believe it's Valakari is your number 9, which is your normal striker. Valakari's not here, so it's allowing Ilofsky to shine. And I gave you the equivalent yesterday. This yesterday would have been like Trenton Brooks hauling off and just hitting 4 home runs in a game. You have a local kid coming in to fill in a spot that's not usually his, just having himself a day. That is exactly, that is a one-to-one comparison, really, is if Trenton Brooks hit 4 home runs in one game, is basically the same thing that Ilofsky did last night.
You mentioned before, like when you're tweeting or we're texting back and forth, it's like, this is like stuff that, it was such a insane performance. You think about the best soccer players in the world, it'd be very hard-pressed to find if any of them have ever done this.
Robert Lewandowski for Bayern Munich did it in 15 minutes in 2019 in a UEFA Champions League game against, I believe it was Red Star Belgrade. I looked it up last night. I don't know that off the top of my head. I'm not that psychotic. But
that was sick, though. You should have just played it off.
I think that...
You should have just played it off.
But I think that they're... Like, guys like Messi and Ronaldo, they have scored 4 goals in a match. But
not
never,
12 minutes.
Never that close.
Not in 12
never
minutes.
Never that close.
Say that.
So there you go. Milan Ilofsky better than Lionel Messi, confirmed.
As said here by Frank Marchese. That's his hot take, and he's standing by it. If you disagree, you should DM him at...
Let's not do that.
F Marks.
Let's not do that.
What was it? F Marks 325 or something?
324.
324. I was close. F Marks 324. Marks for Marchese.
Yep, M-A-R-K-Z is how you spelled it, how you would say it. Marchese. Marchese.
I like it. The NOS, Frank, is a major factor at this year's trade deadline.
So I've heard.
How big of a factor? We'll tell you when we come back to finish up the show. The Brayden Soprano Show, Sandy's number one sports station, 97 through the fan. Frank.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Marchese, Brayden Soprano here, as we lead you up to Gwynn and Chris on a Padres off day. Padres will be in Cincinnati this weekend to take on the Reds to start a road trip that will go to Philadelphia before returning to San Diego for the 4th of July against the Texas Rangers. They will also play the Diamondbacks and be hosting the Phillies, and that will do it for the ceremonial first half of the season. Long homestand before the All-Star break, and then a long road trip after the All-Star break, which we like to call the Comic-Con road trip. That's really the big reason why they miss a significant amount of time after. But that's the first half of the season. Now, the real first half of the season ends tomorrow. At the conclusion of Padres-Reds tomorrow, the first half of the season is over. The ceremonial first half, of course, is the All-Star break. Then you have the trade deadline cutoff, which I like to say. And then we have what we've coined the 42 that Frank brought up yesterday. You're going to win 60, you're going to lose 60. It's what you do in the other 42 that's going to determine whether or not you make the postseason. I will let you know when we get to the 42. It's not the last 42 games of the year, but it's the 42 games after you go 60 and 60. Obviously, the Padres are, hopefully, are not 60 and 60 in the first 120. But once the Padres get to 60 wins, we'll start counting wins in the 42. And we won't start counting losses until they get to 60 losses, and then Padres need to have a pretty good record in that 42 in order to make the postseason. They're on a pretty good pace right now. What we could put them on more of a pace is the trade deadline and having a good trade deadline. Now, we're going to talk about specifically right now in this segment about the National League West. Tomorrow's show, we're going to talk about two major points about the Padres. One, we're going to recap the first half. Mike Schilt kind of mentioned it in his postgame yesterday. We'll play his comments tomorrow. And then he's going to be on with Ben and Woods tomorrow in the morning. And we'll have some pieces of that that we will play on the show. But we also will talk about an interesting point of news that we have received on why you should be excited about the Padres at the deadline. Something that is going to show that the Padres are going to be able to make some moves at the deadline. and they're going to be active. We'll talk about that tomorrow as well. But to finish out the show, a major factor in this year's trade deadline is the division that the Padres play in the National League West for a couple of reasons. I'm going to set the stage, and then there's going to be questions that Frank and I are going to answer about the National League West and the trade deadline. Go through the division. Start with the Los Angeles Dodgers. They're obviously the best team money can buy. As their payroll says, they have the best player in Ohtani. They have a lot of pitching injuries. They're a team that wants to be active at the deadline. They got a World Series last year. They're trying to defend their title. They're going to be a player. And then you go to the San Diego Padres and the San Francisco Giants. Giants haven't been a player in the division for a long time. They won the division not too long ago. But that was it during a long drought in which the Giants haven't spent a lot of money and they haven't really been very good. They've already made a move. They've acquired Rafael Devers. They haven't necessarily been better with him. They've actually been worse record-wise. Padres are now tied with them in the standings. The Giants, with Buster Posey as their general manager, are going to be active. They're a contending team in the National League. Same thing with the Padres, obviously. We play in my open every single day. You cannot punt on a Manny Machado prime year. They cannot do that. They're going to be buyers. There's some other underlying conditions in there that are making it sound like they might be more of a buyer than you think. You got the Arizona Diamondbacks, who could potentially upend the market by being a seller. And then, of course, you have your regular seller, which is the Colorado Rockies. That's your overall synopsis of the National League West. But the National League West is going to set the tone for the trade deadline, especially since they have four teams that are contending and four teams that are above 500. Like the Arizona Diamondbacks, despite all their injuries, will not go away. So with the NL West setting the stage for the trade deadline, there are some questions that need to be answered about the MLB trade deadline, specifically the NL West that could shake up the trade deadline. And here's how. Here's Frank Marchese.
So we have two Padre questions, two Dodger questions, and then one question for each of the other three teams. We'll get the Dodger questions out of the way here first.
Yeah, get rid of them first.
More serious option for the Dodgers would be Chris Sale, who said they're not trading, or Sandy Alcantara.
Who the Marlins already said they're not trading.
Yeah, but it's the Dodgers, so...
Of course. What is the question? It's a more serious option?
Who is the more serious option between the two guys they've already said are not being traded?
I think Chris Sale's a more serious option.
Really?
Yeah, I do. I think he's a more serious option for the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Even broken ribs and all.
Even with his injuries, he still has looked better in the last couple of years and recently than Sandy has. Sandy before Tommy John surgery, right before Sandy this year after. The Marlins knowing that they could probably get more for Sandy during the offseason than they can at the trade deadline. I don't think the Marlins end up trading Sandy. And I really do think the Cubs, if the Marlins do trade Sandy, I do think the Cubs are going to go get him. That's why I think the Dodgers' more serious option might be Chris Sale in this particular case. Now, I think the counterargument, and this could be your argument, is, well, why add a guy that's already hurt to a group of players that is already hurt? I mean, that's definitely a question. But the thing with the Dodgers, though, is it all hinges on whether or not they get a couple of these guys back that they're expected to get back. If they don't get Sasaki back or Snell back or some of their starting pitchers back, Glasnow back, then they are going to have to make a move. But I think their trade deadline is going to be, at least for starting pitching, is going to be just getting what they have back.
Yeah, and that is a very good point. And good news on both the Chris Sale and the Sandy Alcantara points. They both had Tommy John surgery.
Yes.
So with that said, with players like Tony Gonsolin, Dustin May, and Landon Knack, can the Dodgers be both buyers and sellers?
Can they be buyers and sellers? They can be whatever they want to be because they have the resources to do said things. Yes, I mean, there's not a lot of teams that actually physically can be buyers and sellers. In order to be a buyer and a seller, sometimes it's fringe teams, right? You know, like the St. Louis Cardinals could theoretically be a buyer and a seller. Last year, the Detroit Tigers, buyer and seller. The Dodgers can do it because they have so much that they could sell major league pieces for other major league pieces. They're a team that can do that. So can the Dodgers buy and sell with these players? Absolutely they can. I mean, for a lot of teams, let's look at some teams contending in baseball or even teams that aren't contending that might be close. Would you rather have a Tony Gonsolin and Dustin May and or one of their prospects they have? I mean, adding Dustin May to your roster when you're parting ways with somebody is not a bad option to have.
No.
Even though he hasn't been up to the standard I think Dodger fans probably want him to. I mean, let's say you throw Dustin May in a deal to Miami for Sandy Alcantara. If you're the Marlins, you get a guy that's at least at the major league level, right? I mean, so yes, I think out of all the teams in baseball right now, there's a couple that could buy and sell. I think the Cardinals could probably buy and sell. They've been trying to get rid of Arenado for a while now. They could theoretically sell him and then buy on the margins and be like, we're still competitive and winning, but you know, we got to think about the future. There's not a lot of buyer-seller teams. I think the Dodgers could be a buyer and seller at the deadline.
And especially with a guy like the performance that Sandy Alcantara has given this year, it feels like a one-for-one. Now, you know what the limit and you know what the ceiling for Sandy Alcantara is, and he's nowhere near it. But at least for the Marlins, you could say, hey, it's a one-for-one right now. I mean, Alcantara's not doing great. Dustin May's doing just about as good as Sandy is. But all right, so here's, unfortunately, I think, is the short one that we're going to see here. Who in the world are the Rockies going to trade? And who in the world would want anyone from that team?
Oh, God. I mean, you might be able to find Ryan McMahon, get something out of Ryan McMahon.
I'm seeing Seth Halverson in here, Jake Bird, Ryan McMahon. I personally would see if there's a way you could try to swipe Trenton Doyle away from them if you're a team that needs an outfielder.
I don't see the Rockies being able to really trade anybody that's going to get them anything back that's worth anything, right? You know, Ryan McMahon getting 12 this year, 16 next year, 16 in 2027, a couple years of control. I think a change of scenery for Ryan McMahon would probably do him wonders.
Yeah.
He's a Southern California kid.
Solid player, too.
So he could probably, you know, he's a solid player. I mean, you get him out of there, he might be able to thrive. And he's the going rate of a player. It's the price of doing business for him. It's not like you're overpaying. You know, they're not going to sell like Ezekiel Tovar. Some of their pitchers I think are interesting. Like Kyle Freeland, to me, if you take him out of Colorado, he might be a lot better. But that would be a major risk. So maybe like a Kyle Freeland, he's not really a rental. And Ramon Marquez is a rental. He's been okay. So maybe it's a guy like Ramon Marquez. Get him out of Colorado. He might be able to do something, but we are really grasping at straws here for the Colorado Rockies. They have nothing that's going to give them a bunch of prospects back.
You know what? I think Chase Dolander is really the only one that I would even remotely consider giving a prospect haul. And I don't even know if Dolander's ready. He's
23. That's a prospect haul for a prospect in reality.
He's up out of necessity, not out of quality. Now, Dolander's supposed to be a great pitcher, but he's not up because he's that great pitcher yet.
Anybody going to trade for Michael Tolia? I mean, but now you're looking at some of these players that are expected to be part of the future. I mean, Dolander, the Rockies have control over until 2031.
Yeah, and Hunter
Goodman. You got to build around somebody.
And Hunter Goodman's in a very similar spot as well. He got drafted in 2021.
And Seth Halverson.
Yep.
Seth Halverson's a free agent in 2031 also. I don't know what they have to trade. Mickey Moniak? Does anybody want Mickey Moniak?
I mean, if you're looking at veteran pieces, everyone in the league just had a crack at Orlando Arcia. right. and no one took him. Maybe Tyro Estrada, maybe Ryan McMahon, maybe Sam Hilliard, possibly.
I think there's some value for like a Mickey Moniak, but not enough to get a lot. If you're Colorado, it's better just to keep some of these guys. Like, to me, if you're the Rockies, you're going to part ways with somebody. It's going to be somebody that's going to get you, I don't know, out of being the worst farm system in baseball on top of being the worst team in baseball.
Yeah.
And if you think about realistic, like, let's realistically think about this.
Hunter Goodman's not a realistic option in the deadline.
Think about it from this perspective. When is the next time the Rockies are going to be able to compete at their current status? Like, if you, like, you have to overhaul this roster. What is a realistic amount of time you think, as a general manager that's, you know, give them the best general manager ever, what is in a reasonable amount of time that you can flip this team into a winner?
About a decade.
I mean, how long did it take A.J. Preller to get the Padres into the playoffs?
Yeah.
Think about that. When did he start? The end of 2014?
I think so, yeah.
It was like the last month of 2014 is when he started?
Because I think his first offseason was the Uptons.
That was his first offseason after he became the general manager at the end of 2014.
Yeah, because 2015, yeah, that sounds about right. Because, yeah. Mm-hmm.
When did they make their first playoffs? 2020, and it's a shortened season. And then in 2021, they didn't make it, and then they went to the NLCS in 2020. Think about how long it has taken the Padres, who, by the way, had an owner that was writing
blank
massive checks. Do the Rockies and Dick Monfort have a guy that's writing massive checks? Now, they did spend money on Chris Bryant, so it's not like they don't, and they gave Arenado a contract extension at the time. It's not like they don't spend money, but they're not spending money like the Padres, like they did. When's the earliest that they can compete? 2031? So now you got to think about your window and think about players that are going to help you. To me, anybody that somebody else wants, give up. Seriously. And that's even Dolander. Chase Dolander is a free agent in 2031. So unless you want to give him a contract extension, plans, and he's on the team the longest out of anybody on that team. That's insane. I don't know. I mean, the Rockies are between a rock and a hard place right now.
They are the rock, and they are the hard place at this point. A couple of these other things. The Giants question really isn't even about the Giants. We discussed, more or less discussed, the Arizona topic of could Arizona possibly be sellers at the trade deadline. And we've also talked about what issue the Padres will address at the deadline ad nauseum virtually every single day on this show. So let's go to this last one here. A name that we haven't brought up as far as the catcher position. Could the Padres trade with the Atlanta Braves for Sean Murphy?
Could they? They could do anything.
Will the Padres trade?
Should they? Would they or should they? Otherwise, I'm going to ask the Jurassic Park question.
It says will.
I know.
Will the Padres trade for Sean Murphy?
Let's look at Sean Murphy's contract. Sean Murphy, I'm pretty sure he's getting decent. He's getting $15 million every year until 2029 when it becomes a club option. He's 30 years old. So you're going to pay him until he's 36 to be a catcher that does get injured a lot. So.
And you have one on the way.
And you have one on the way. Theoretically. Like, to me, would you trade away Salas and just be like, we're going to roll with Murphy? I think that'd be a waste of your time. I'm not saying trade Salas for Murphy, but what I'm saying is, if you're going to go acquire Murphy, he's going to be the backstop for you for the next four seasons. The remainder of the season, the next three seasons after that, for $15 million. Are you willing to pay him $15 million to be a backup? Maybe that is the price of a backup catcher in the future. With the amount of times he gets hurt, I think that's a hard press when your philosophy is our catching situation is not an offensive one.
And like I said it on the show like maybe a month ago, I think JT Realmuto would be a better option. You signed him at free agency. You're going to overpay for him right now, but that's a guy who Ethan Salas can pick the brain of. And you can get rid of Realmuto by the time Salas is ready. With Murphy, that's a long time to be stuck with a catcher, especially if Ethan Salas doesn't work out, because then you really are stuck with Murphy, and you're going to be stuck with Ethan Salas if he doesn't work out, because, well, now all the promise and prospect of the prospect is gone.
Well, I also think, don't the Braves fans think Murphy's a disappointment? I mean, I think he's been kind of a disappointment there, has he not?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's been a disappointment.
He was a part of the Shea Langeliers trade that sent Langeliers to Oklahoma.
Oklahoma, your favorite. Do we have time for one more question, or is that...
No, that was it.
Like we'll talk about the Padre ones, the other Padre one later.
The other Padre one was what should the Padres...
Left field.
Yeah, exactly. We've spoken about it every single day on this show.
Cool.
Enough questions, I would say.
I agree.
It's time for some action.
Yeah, I think I'll wait to the deadline. Well, no, I've been more and more encouraged by the news we're getting on the deadline. At the beginning, I was like, it's going to be a seller's market because of the teams competing. And then you're like, well, if the Diamondbacks sell, all of a sudden, things are a lot different. And there's some good news, Padres fans, that we'll talk about tomorrow on the show. They might be swinging high at the trade deadline. For Frank Marchese, I'm Braden Sprenet. Thanks again for the Braden Sprenet Show. That's a wrap for today's episode of the Braden Sprenet Show. If you haven't already, make sure to subscribe to the podcast and favorite us on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. And remember, you can always catch me live weekdays from 10 to 2 on 97.3 The Fan and streaming on YouTube. Stay connected. Follow me at B_SURP, at BSURP on Twitter/X, Instagram, and TikTok. And don't forget to subscribe to my YouTube page at B_SURP. Thanks again for listening. I'll catch you guys next time.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.